chapter 5. I have been chosen to give this morning a brief charge to the church in the next 20 to 25 minutes. What if you had a benefactor whose sole purpose in life, I mean a rich benefactor, I mean a powerful benefactor, whose sole purpose in life was to make your life as safe, as rich, and happy as possible? I'll bet that you would consider yourself a blessed person, and I bet you would appreciate that benefactor. Well, the person or the church who has a true God-called pastor is infinitely more blessed because he has one not pursuing his physical and temporal happiness and well-being, but he's got a man who's watching out for his spiritual and eternal happiness and well-being. Albert Barnes says there is no benefactor who should be treated with more affectionate regard than he who endeavors to save us from ruin. And this is what the Apostle Paul exhorts the church at Thessalonica to do with their elders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. A true pastor, dear people, as you know, but we often need to be reminded of, is a gift from Jesus Christ, the head of the church. To fail to appreciate him is to despise the one who gives him, because he is the gift of the head of the church. A true pastor is someone who will do your soul, if you will honor him as the scripture says, in all the ways the scripture say, he will do your soul unspeakable good. Should you not then, as Paul exhorts here, know that man? The word appreciate is translated in other translations, know. And it means really get to have a deep knowledge of him. Should you not know him and appreciate him, and as the passage goes on to say, love and esteem such a man for the work that he's doing, and be the kind of sheep, the kind of church member who helps him with that work, not the kind who hinders him in that work. Grace Reformed Baptist Church, this morning, you have acknowledged in your vote last week that Ben Carlson is such a gift from the chief shepherd. And my duty is not, I'm going to exchange the word charge. I'm going to take my cue from the Apostle Paul, who, with all of his authority, you know what he says? We request this. He could have said, I command this. He could have. But he said, we request this. I'm bringing myself to your level, brethren. We're all brothers in Christ. I'm requesting that you honor your pastor and appreciate him, esteem him, love him for his work's sake. So that's my duty this morning. I don't mind telling you that much of what I'm going to say has been borrowed from that great 18th century English preacher, John Angel James, in his little booklet, which was part of a larger book, I believe. But the booklet is entitled Duties of Church Members to Their Pastors. Now, if you don't have that book and you want it, tell one of your pastors and we'll probably gladly give it to you for free. With maybe a little bit of an ulterior motive involved in it. It's a great book, a great booklet. So I'm going to borrow heavily from him this morning. But he had about 10 reasons, 10 things you should do to biblically, 10 biblical duties you owe to your elder. I'm going to condense it down to 3. And the first one is this. I request of you, brothers, that you esteem Ben Carlson and your other elders very highly in love and appreciation. Regard them highly because of the work that they're called to do. Appreciate your pastor. You don't have to wait till October, which is Pastor Appreciation Month. You can do it before then. You can do it after then. Do not be backward, church, to show that love and appreciation to him that his office deserves. So how am I supposed to show Ben how much I appreciate him? Well, love him first of all. And if you don't love him, get on your knees and ask God to help you love him. And if you don't love him enough, ask God to help you love him more. Because love is the most inventive virtue of all. And if we really love somebody, men like we love our wives, wives like we love our husbands, we will find ways to show our appreciation. And that's why Paul says, esteem him very highly in love because of his work. One thing you can do for your pastor to show your appreciation is give him kind words of praise and expressions of gratitude. I did not say to flatter him. Do not flatter him. But beloved, sincere praise is a good thing. Do you know that? Do you know, for example, it is not a sin to say to a pastor after he preaches, good sermon, pastor. It's not. But I almost think some people must think it is. Because there are some people, it's so hard for them to bring themselves. Listen, this is one thing Paul is saying here. He's not saying this. We request of you, brethren, that you keep your pastor humble. He doesn't say that. I think there are some church members, I think in my past, I certainly wouldn't accuse anyone here of this, but in my past I've met church members who thought their calling in the church was to keep the pastor humble. That is not your calling. Pray that he'll be kept humble, but it is God's calling to keep him humble. And if God needs to, God can do as he did with the Apostle Paul to keep him down. He can send a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. Kind words and expressions of appreciation can go a long way. I'm serious about this. Kind word. You don't know how much they can mean to a pastor. They can go a long way to alleviate just the general burdens of life that may be weighing on him. Now, I'm talking about something we ought to be doing with one another also. But this morning, my request is that you remember this for Ben and your pastors. Kind words can not only alleviate the burdens of life, but kind words and hugs and warm handshakes can alleviate the burdens of the ministry. And brothers and sisters, there are burdens in the ministry. And Ben has bought into some. Here's what John Angel James encourages the church to do. Would you be encouraged to consider this? At the close of Sabbath labors, let the members gather round him, their pastor, and not permit him to retire from his public labors without some tokens of their approbation, even if it be one friendly handshake. And he quotes Acts 28:15, a great passage where Paul is on his way to Rome, Paul the prisoner on his way to Rome. And the Bible says, the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and the Three Inns to meet us. Some brethren took it on themselves to go out just to meet Paul while he and his group were traveling to Rome. Well, Paul didn't need that, did he? Paul was a mighty apostle. Paul didn't need any man encouraging him. Not so, beloved. Even the Apostle Paul, it says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Just an expression of their appreciation for the mighty Apostle Paul warmed his heart. Do that for your pastor. Warm his heart. John Angel James says again, how certain on this passage, commenting on this passage, how certain might the members of our churches count upon a similar influence being produced upon the hearts of their pastors by even the smallest expressions of their affection. Think not, Church of God, that it takes great and costly actions to lift the spirit of your shepherd. Words of appreciation mean much. Be careful also in your words about your pastor, not just your words to your pastor, but your words about your pastor. Be very careful how you speak to him in a way of esteem and respect, or you speak of him in a way of esteem and respect before others. It's one of the greatest tragedies in church life that it's just become a saying that the people go home from church and what do they have for dinner? They have roast preacher for dinner. And too often that's true. Too often people have bad things or negative things to say about their pastor when what's said is right in the presence of their children. The pastor is there to help your children. Help them to heaven. And what kind of an influence is the pastor going to have on any people if those people? You come to me. Something is hanging. Thank you, brother. I'm glad that wasn't a church member revolt. I didn't say the main thing I'm going to say. Let's see if that'll do it. Be careful how you speak about your pastor. In your family, to your fellow church members, and especially also to the outside world. Speak as well as you possibly can of Pastor Ben whenever you can. Newsflash, pastors are not perfect. Pastors make mistakes. They make mistakes as individuals. They make mistakes as a group. You could, if you wanted to, you probably wouldn't have to think too long or look too hard. You could think of mistakes that have been made by each one of your elders. And you could think of mistakes that have been made by your elders as an eldership. Well, don't expect perfections. But as John Angel James says, do not look at him with suspicion, but repose an honorable confidence in his character. You had confidence in his character to set him aside as an elder. Now let that continue. And when, James says, when they cannot but see his imperfections, they should not, they must not take pleasure in either magnifying them or staring at them, but make all reasonable excuse for them and endeavor to lose sight of his infirmities in his virtues. Show your appreciation to Ben. Speak well of Pastor Ben. And please, do not listen to gossip and negative words concerning him, which only can diminish the influence that God has given to the office of pastor. Church members, James says, should be alive to the importance of defending their minister's character. And as long as his character remains blameless, and you know what the meaning of that is, church members should preserve it with as much care against the tongue of the slanderer as they would his life against the hand of the assassin. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. If you see somebody coming at Ben with a knife, you're going to do what you can to preserve him and help him. Well, a tongue is like a razor. A tongue that can only condemn and slander and break down is like a razor. You ought to be as careful in protecting your pastor from a slanderous tongue as you would be protecting him, as James says, from the knife of an assassin. Appreciate your pastor. Number two, submit to his just scriptural teaching and leadership. Submit. Wow, we still use that word. Say, Pastor, what do you take us for, a bunch of sheep? Well, I hope so. Because it's hard pastoring goats. No. It's impossible to pastor goats. It's hard pastoring sheep. But yeah, the great shepherd of the sheep has under-shepherds in the church. And what is their job? To teach, feed, and lead the sheep, lead the church. Paul says here, they have charge, in verse 12, they have charge over you. We're not going to argue with that, are we? Because we bow to the Word of God. We believe in that. And we thank God for that. And we said we have this day ordained Ben Carlson to be over us in the Lord. I'm glad to have him over me. And I trust that all of you are also.
Here's another text, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. This certainly involves, submitting to them certainly involves submission to their teaching and preaching. Pastor Ben will come to you. You've heard him confess his confidence in the Word of God and the Word of God only as the sufficient rule of faith and practice. That's what he's going to be bringing to you. And when he comes to you, he comes with divine authority. And as we saw in Herod in our scripture reading this morning, it is a dangerous thing and it is a wicked thing to resist divine authority. Listen to the sermons of your pastor as though God himself were speaking. That's the way your soul is going to benefit. Do not listen to him merely to see how you can find, you could have done better with his outline. You can do better with his vocabulary. Do not listen to him merely to judge what he's saying. I used to know a man who graded. He had like A, B, C, D, and F. He graded every preacher he heard. And I knew this man, and I could not help but think to myself, brother, if you'd sit there trying to get something from God Almighty, rather than trying to decide how good the preacher is, it'd be a lot better for your soul. Dear people, submit to his authority when he says, thus says the Lord, and that will benefit your soul. Now, in order to submit in that way, you know what you need to do? You need to be here. I'm going to say this whether it's Ben preaching or anyone else. James says this, you need constant, faithful attendance upon divine worship with due esteem for the Word of God that's coming from the pastor's lips. Lax attendance or a lax attitude, even if you're here, a lax attitude towards the preaching of the Word robs your soul of the benefit that Jesus Christ wants to give it when he gives true pastors. You want to know how to make Pastor Ben? I know this because I know his heart. His heart's where his other elders are. You know how to make him sad? Just for any flimsy excuse, absent yourself from the public worship of God and the preaching of God's Word. That'll break a pastor's heart. John Angel James, some members give unspeakable pain to their pastors by the irregularity, and I'm not saying there's anyone here guilty of great irregularity. Don't be. They give unspeakable pain to their pastors by the irregularity of their visits to the house of God. Such a disposition to sacrifice spiritual privileges for mere temporal enjoyment does not afford much evidence that religion is with those people the one thing needful. Listen to this, parents. As dangerous as this practice of just letting any little thing, anything less of lesser importance than the public worship of God, as dangerous as that practice is to the individuals themselves, it is still more so to their children. Amen. I'll amen John Angel James on that. When you just let any little thing detract you from the public worship of God, you might as well get your children, set them down and say, listen, this is more important than the public worship of God. Because that's what you're saying by your action. Don't break Pastor Ben's heart by letting anything keep you from the house of God. Submit to him. Submit to his preaching. Submit to his private counsel. Submit to his scriptural leadership. If he tells you what color to paint your house, tell him that he is beyond his authority. He doesn't have the authority to tell you that. If he tells you what kind of car to drive, tell him to butt out of your business, that it's not his business. But when he comes to you in things spiritual that have to do with the Word of God, submit to him, brothers and sisters. And it'll be good for your soul. And he can pastor you with joy and not with grief if you'll do that. Cooperate with his strategies in moving the church forward. Say, do you want us just to be yes men? Every time you can. Yeah. I'm not trying to buy your conscience. I don't want your conscience. Your conscience is between you and God. Listen, Whenever you can say yes to your elder and his strategies and his desires and his outreach program, which we have one coming up, which Ben is actually in charge of, get on board and help him. That's part of submission. I'll tell you what's not part of submission is finding something wrong with every idea the pastor comes up with. Don't be like that, church. Number three, lastly, perhaps most importantly, pray for him. Pray for him. Pray often for Ben Carlson and your other elders. Pray fervently for him. Pray for his life. The devil wants to ruin this man's life. We've seen what can happen to a minister of the gospel. You say, "Well, that won't happen to Ben." Wrong attitude. That'll happen to Ben without the grace of God. It'll happen to anybody without the grace of God. He's human. Pray that the devil will not gain an upper hand. The devil will not come between him and his wife. Pray that God will keep him pure in his thoughts, his words, and faithful to one woman, and a good father to his children. Pray for his ministry. Pray for God to just use him mightily. I'm not going to quote any passages. You know how even the Apostle Paul begged people. Every time he write a letter, he's begging people, pray for us. Pray for our ministries. Pray for utterance. Pray for the Word of God that it may have free course. And surely if a man like Paul was dependent upon and indebted to the prayers of Christians, how much more so the ordinary ministers of Christ? That's what Ben is. He's an ordinary. He's not an apostle. And even the apostle needed people praying for him. Ben needs your prayers. It is a means of assisting the minister that's within the reach of every member. And it's a powerful way to assist him. In fact, all three of these things, anybody can express words of appreciation and love, can't they? Anybody can submit to scriptural teaching and counsel, can't they? And leadership. And anybody who's truly saved can pray. Is it possible, beloved, that what kind of pastor you have is largely dependent on you? You say, "Well, I refuse to take responsibility for the failings of my pastor." Okay, he has to take responsibility for his failings. But how much have you prayed for him? You have to take responsibility for your failure to pray when it is such a clearly commanded duty in the Word of God. John Angel James says, "We are to our people just what God makes us, and no more." And God, now here's a thought, God is willing to make us almost whatever they ask. Well, I wish my pastor was like that. Is it in the Bible? Go pray for it. Go pray for it and see if God won't do that. If some professing Christians, I like this too, let me share it with you. If some professing Christians were to take from the time they spend praising their ministers, and others from the time they employ in blaming them, and both of them were to get together and devote that time to the act of praying for them, what do you reckon would happen? John Angel James says the former, the praisers, would find still more to admire him for, and the blamers would find a lot less reason to condemn him. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Pastor Ben. Because no minister, and this is my last quote, no minister of the gospel will prosper long if his people do not take this duty seriously. Brothers, we request of you that you pray for Pastor Ben and for all of your pastors. Thank God for Pastor Ben. This to me is a great blessing to our church. It's one of the evidences that God is really blessing us, in my opinion. May God make him a great blessing to this church, and may God make this church. You pray this in light of this charge, this request. Lord, make me faithful in fulfilling my duties to my pastor. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word and for how it charges us and requests of us. May we take it as a serious duty, we pray. And help us as a church to be, to Pastor Ben, that which your word commands for your glory, and that he may freely do his work among us. In Jesus' name, amen.